Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we will endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find these radio programs there and MP3 files and also a host of other Bible-related material that will help you in your study of God's Word. You will also find some information about us on that website. Please give it a look. We, at the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire is to show your need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. For the month of June, we are going to look at a subject that is very, very simple, but we want to ask a question, and then we want to give the biblical answer. Here is the question. What saves us? One thing or many things? Whenever any member of the body of Christ gets into a discussion concerning the subject of man's salvation, the word only is always going to come up. Many people have taken this subject and narrowed it down to only one requirement in order to gain salvation. This is quick, it is simple, and easy to explain to folks, right? Here's the question, though. What does the Scripture say? Is it that simple by the Scripture? Most of you have heard a lesson like this at one time or another in your lifetime. Sometimes we refer to this as a chain of authority or a chain of salvation as we try to show folks from the Scriptures the essentiality of these for man's salvation. Can we pit one against another? Is one part more important than the other? Can we isolate one or more on this list and still gain salvation? We dare not. This is where our friends in other faiths fail in rightly dividing the word of truth, as we are commanded to do in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. One who twists the teaching of the word, according to the Apostle Peter, does so at his own destruction. And therefore, we want to look, as we begin today, and looking at what saves us, one thing or many things. Let's begin this morning by reading in Romans chapter 8 at verse number 24. Romans chapter 8, verse number 24. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Rome, "For we are saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what does one still hope for what he sees?" We are saved by this hope. What is this hope? This hope is what we have in Christ. Without this hope, man cannot be saved without this hope. Now, understand, hope is something that we are looking to gain, to obtain. Now, we don't already have it, because then it wouldn't be hope, it would be reality. And so at some point, our hope will turn into reality. But right now, that hope is one of the things that saves us, and that hope is in Christ. Now, of course, whenever you talk about salvation, men want to talk about grace. And that's fine. We can talk about grace, because that's one of the things that saves us. In Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 8 and 9, the Scripture plainly teaches this truth. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Is a man saved by grace? Absolutely. Without grace, man cannot be saved. What is grace? Grace is unmerited favor. It is something that is not earned. It is something that's not merited. It is not something that is deserved. It is something that is given but is not merited or earned by the one who is receiving it. Now understand, grace is what God is giving us. God is extending His grace. And His grace is extended to us in many different ways. Let's read another passage in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteous, and godly in the present age. So what have we learned about the grace of God in these two verses? Well, first of all, we learn that the grace of God has appeared to all men to bring salvation to them. And so God's grace is needed by all men because all men have sinned and all men need salvation, and that salvation is in Christ. And God's grace has appeared to all men to make it possible. But also notice verse number 12, teaching us. Now the question is, ladies and gentlemen, what is teaching us? In this context, what is teaching us? Well, what is teaching us is grace. Okay, what does grace teach us? It teaches us denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Now, God's grace teaches us there's something we have to do. We have to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. That's something you do, ladies and gentlemen. That's not something that's done for you. That's something that you do as an individual. But continue. And we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. And so what does grace teach us? It teaches us that we must deny ungodliness and worldly lust. That's not what grace does. That's what we do. And by doing that, we can live soberly. That means, soberly means clear-minded. It means serious-minded. Righteously, that means according to God's stipulation. And godly means the kind of character that we have. So, does grace save us? Absolutely. But grace saves us by expounding on telling us things that we must do. We must deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We have to live soberly, righteous, and godly in this present age. Ladies and gentlemen, that's something you do. That's not something God does for you. That's something that you do for God. That is a choice that we make in our lives to deny ungodliness, to deny worldly lust, and to live soberly, righteously, and godly. That is something we do. That is an action that is performed by the sinner. And so does grace save us? Absolutely. Can we be saved without it? Absolutely not. But grace gives us some things that we must do. Next, we want to look at Acts 16, verse number 31. Acts 16, verse number 31. So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, you and your household. Now at this time, Paul and Silas are talking to the Philippian jailer. We also see in John chapter 8 and verse 24, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sin. And then, of course, Hebrews 11 and verse number 6, Hebrews 11 and verse number 6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And so, man is saved by faith. Faith is a must for sure. But is faith enough? Is that enough alone? Many people will quote you John 3:16. What does John 3:16 say? Well, we're all very familiar with that passage. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Unfortunately, many people in the religious world have summarized that salvation is down to this verse, that as long as one believes, he gets salvation. Is faith enough? Is faith alone enough in order to produce salvation? Well, if faith alone is enough, then you don't need hope. And you don't need grace. If faith alone can save you, then we don't need God's grace and we don't need hope. But we've already read that we're saved by hope. We read that in Romans 8. We told that all men are saved by the grace of God in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. And so it cannot just be faith only, because we've already seen there are some other elements, hope and grace, that also must be present in order to produce salvation for men. Yet, in James chapter 2, the only place in the Bible that it really talks about faith only, let's see what it says in James 2 in verse number 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead, being alone. Now, the misunderstanding that men make about this is that whenever you talk about works, and we'll talk about that later on in this list, but whenever you talk about that, they say that you're trying to earn or merit your salvation. No. Now, let me give you an example. Remember when we talked about grace teaches us? Grace teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. That's work. That's something you do. That's action. That's something you do. You live soberly, righteous, and godly. That's something you do. That's action. That's work. And so those are things that we do in order to obtain salvation. And so faith alone, without the works that God has given us to do, works that He has given in His Word, unless those works are followed and accomplished, we can't be saved. Now, let us, in bringing this to a close for today, we've looked at three things. We've looked at hope in Romans chapter 8. We've looked at grace in Ephesians chapter 2 and Titus chapter 2. And we've looked at faith in Hebrews 11, 6 and John 8, 24. And when we read those passages, it says that hope saves us, we're saved by grace, and without faith, no one can be saved. Now, ladies and gentlemen, do you need all of those? Do you need hope? Do you need faith? Do you need grace? Which one of them do you want to leave out? Which one of the first three that we've looked at in our answer to our question, what saves, one thing or many, which one of them do you want to leave out? Truth is, we can't leave any of them out. Yet the majority of the world teaches that we're saved by faith only, and we'll quote you John 3:16. Again, I want to remind you, I want you to keep this in mind till next week. If faith alone saves us, then the first two things we mentioned, hope and grace, are unnecessary. But nobody's going to take that argument, because all men know that without grace, none of us can be saved. And none of us can be saved unless we have hope in Christ Jesus, because he makes it possible that we can obtain salvation. So, as we begin this study, what saves us, one thing or many, we've already talked more than one. And today we talked about faith, grace, and hope. All three are part of the equation in order to save us from our sin. Thank you for listening this morning. We hope you'll continue to tune in next week, as we will look at some more things on our list and things that we need in order to produce salvation in our life. Let's go to the Bible. Let's let the Bible answer this question today.